98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Mike Giardi from NBC Sports Boston. He has a tweet out. It has people concerned. Adam, do you have that tweet in front of you?
Yeah, give me one sec here. The Mike Giardi tweet, which obviously, Mike, you would know so well. Someone who knows is watching our show tonight. Source says Bill is making Planet players miserable. And yes, a lot of this ties back to the Alex Guerrero stuff. The players like Brady and Gronk don't feel appreciated for the sacrifices they make.
Yes, sir. First of all, I'm surprised at how many people don't know what Planet player is. Planet player would be the definition of Brady and Gronk.
Yeah, it's a Parcells term, right? Yeah. He invented that.
It's sort of just a reaffirmation of the stuff that we've been talking about, and the fact that even now here, somewhat weeks removed from the Super Bowl, that if they had that meeting didn't solve anything. The coming of the come to Jesus meeting. And if they haven't had it, why haven't they had it? But clearly, there was a lot going on during the course of the year, and that team was able to buck it out and get to a Super Bowl and have the ball with 2 minutes left with a chance to win. But they're in a situation where I think they have some things that they really have to fix and some relationships that need to be mended, and that should be concerning.
All right, if you're Bill Belichick, how do you solve this? If Guerrero is a big issue in this whole thing, what does he do, and will he do it?
Well, I mean, that's a big question, right? Because if you look at, resetting the boundaries for Guerrero and Brady with his Tom versus Time in episode 5, showing that he's, in some suite and they're trying to figure out a way to lay down a table, and should they block the windows, and you're doing it around those lighter cans there. I don't know if he'll go back on that, but that's the root of the problem, and that's a lot of guys that are upset about it. Like, why should I have to go up the hill to him, or why should our best player, the greatest quarterback of all time, be stuck in a suite trying to do this thing? So I don't know if Bill's going to go back on the boundaries that he felt necessary to set at some point last year. It seems to me like that's not something he would do. But who knows? Maybe, he sits there and has a meeting with these guys and realizes that this isn't really ground worth fighting over.
So one of the things, Mike, that perhaps I've admittedly read too much into, but what interests me about you saying Guerrero's at the heart of it is that, to me, what that boils down to means that Bill Belichick doesn't know what's best for their bodies and their recovery and their ability to be on the field. And so they're going to go their own route. Am I reading too much into that, I guess, and secondarily, if there's something to that, if players are openly wondering how Bill, or whether or not Bill has their best interests in mind, I don't see how you reverse that. Like, I don't really see how Bill recovers from that.
Well, and you look at too, Bill is obviously, he's been around the game for a long time, and he is very loyal to his strength and conditioning staff, to the medical staff, and you trust these guys that, they have your best interest in mind too. And these guys are saying, well, look, I feel better than I ever have. And, part of it or all of it is because of the work that I'm doing with Alex. So yeah, I don't look, I think it'd be hard for Bill to reverse it. It would be sort of staggering to me if he did, but again, do you risk further, alienating Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, guys like that who are heavily invested in the TB12 method and in Guerrero, those are your best players. So, I think at some point you look at it and say, I don't know if this is the hill worth dying on.
Is there a way to massage this to keep the train rolling, at least for another couple of years?
Well, I mean, look, the other part too is that these guys feel underappreciated. And, I kind of roll my eyes at that. Like, I don't know how many of your bosses come up and pat you on the back.
Oh, all the time.
That's right.
I don't think that's the culture that we live in anymore, but this is a different kind of athlete who grew up in a different, not necessarily Brady, but certainly Gronk, that grew up in a different sort of era. And that's part of, they've always got pats on the back, and be constantly told it's not good enough for some of these guys. It wears thin. I think they just need to suck it up and stop being, I don't want to say babies, because obviously, yes, incredibly tough guys. They play hurt. They play they play a physical sport that takes a lot from their bodies, but I don't think that's football. You know, I don't think that's professional sports, period. So that part of it is kind of interesting to me too. Just guys are sensitive about how they get talked to around there, and that's been Bill for God only knows how long.
But you see these other coaches that are more player coaches, certainly in Philadelphia, and these guys are allowed to have a little bit of fun. Did you make anything out of what Gronkowski wrote about Amendola on Instagram?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was a direct shot at what's going on here. That was a message, we're not having fun. We're not allowed necessarily to do what we want, particularly when it pertains to our bodies and with Alex. And I think that there was no messing around with that. People say you're reading too much into things, but knowing what I know and hearing what I've been hearing and getting the information I got yesterday, it just, again, reaffirmed exactly what that meant. And that all ties back to what's going on here and what's been going on this past year.
So you wrote in a follow-up tweet that you expect ultimately Gronk will be back, and you think it'll come along with a raise when all is said and done. Brady also was upset at the end of Tom versus Time. It felt very, very planned, very pointed. Should we expect a raise for Brady as well? And if we don't see a raise or a restructuring or something, what does that tell you about the climate down there?
I would be surprised if Gronk didn't get something added to his deal. Again, he signed the deal. When he signed the deal, that made him the highest paid player. He knew that he might be giving up something on the back end because you signed a deal that takes you that deep. But now you start looking at the money being thrown around, and it's not just to the tight ends. It's not just a guy like Trey Burton, who was a third string tight end and now is getting $32 million, whatever it is, $16, $18 million guaranteed. It's the money that guys like Sammy Watkins are getting, and none of those guys are in his class. I think, despite his injuries, when he's out there, he's a dominant player, and I think they're going to have to pay him as such. And I don't think, and when push comes to shove, I think their relationship with the Rosenhaus crew and their understanding of Gronk and what he does for that team, they'll get something done where he bumps his number up. Brady's an interesting one because, he signed through 2019. So do you want to add more years? Do you want to end up with dead cap money somewhere down the line, especially if he seems like he's wavering a little bit or a little bit more than he has ever in our view of things from the Tom versus Time episode 6? I don't know. I don't know if they do that.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that can't help anything with Brady, right? I mean, if he feels underappreciated, what's the best way to show someone they're appreciated? Give him a raise.
Yeah, I mean, it does all start with money, right? But I think also then it comes back to Guerrero. Don't make it so difficult on my guy. And when they meet, that's really going to be a big point of contention and something that they're going to have to figure out, something that works better for both sides, because it certainly didn't work for the players.
All right, with the free agents leaving and with the turmoil in the organization, do you think this is going to manifest itself on the field next season?
I think they're 12-4 at the worst. I mean, you still have the best coach in NFL history, and you still have the best quarterback. And unless that quarterback falls off that cliff, which doesn't look like it's happening, then I can't foresee anything. There's still plenty of good players on that team. They're still going to be better prepared than everybody else. And look, they went through a lot last year, and they ended up, 13-3 in the regular season. I mean, so it's just, There's too much talent there, and there's too many brains there that, maybe all that stuff does detract a little bit and leads to some bad relationships, but when they get between the lines, they're still playing football and playing it at a level higher than everybody else.
All right, Mike Giardi, thank you so much for the time, and you're a newsmaker, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you having me.
All right, thank you so much.